I want to go back to 1966 when you and Huey Newton started the Black Panther Party. Your passion for grassroots organizing in many ways stemmed from the pressing needs that you felt should be addressed in the Black community. Are those needs being addressed in the so-called new Black Panther Party?
Not at all. These guys, so-called new Black Panther Party, has been around since about 1989. They have never, ever put up a program that literally serves the people in the community. In my organization, I had over 22 different grassroots community service programs that Black Panther Party members, young folks, others, and organizers in various chapters and branches, they put them together. And some of the most prominent ones, of course, was the Children's Free Breakfast for Children program, where we wound up feeding over 250,000 kids every day, 5 days a week, breakfast in all about 48, 49 chapters of the party. The other one was the free preventative medical health care clinics that we put up in our chapters and branches. And with that preventative medical health care clinic, an extension program that was free sickle cell anemia testing programs, because African Americans were not tested for sickle cell anemia. And in fact, our work with a lot of medical institutions, frameworks, medical people who were concerned also, et cetera, caused for the first time in the history of the United States of America, caused the testing of over 1 million black folks in a five-year period from the time we started it in 1968. This was the success of what our program was about. And what it did, it united people in opposition to what we used to say, what I used to say, opposition to institutionalized racism. I mean, a medical framework and medical are institutions. These institutions give service to the people, et cetera, and so on, et cetera. But policies have set, were set back in those days in many cases, not in every, but many cases, particularly in Southern, black folks' need for disease curing, you know, was not concerned. So that's just one example of 101 other kind of examples and other institutional frameworks that we can go after. I mean, whether it was the police department brutalizing us, et cetera. So in my 10-point platform and program, what, on one point we call for full employment, on another point we call for decent education and taught us about our true history, and another point we call not to have to be drafted to fight in the war in Vietnam when this country is not recognizing our constitutional, democratic, civil, human rights. Another point, an end to police brutality and murder of black. Another point, an end to the robbery and exploitation. But our grassroots organizing and the programs that we set up were not just programs for the sake of the programs. They were programs to organize the people, to unify the people. So you can imagine our massive voter registration drives that we connected with the programs. Because if we could unify the electoral power in the community, you see what I'm getting at? Mm-hmm. Then we have a better chance to get representatives and others to change all the racist laws, to go in and get elected and get rid of. In other words, the real crux of all institutionalized racism is the laws. You see what I'm getting at? When Rosa Parks refused to move to the back of the bus in the middle of the 1950s, it was a law on the books in that state that a black person had to get up and give their seat to a white person, and two, they had to ride on the back of the bus. It's an absurd law. It doesn't make any human sense, right? But I'm talking about this is how you get rid of institutionalized racism. So that's what those programs were about, how to organize, unify the people in the community in opposition to institutionalized racism.
And then the new Black Panther Party isn't producing the tangible results you are producing.
Never have, and they've been around since 1989.
What does that tell you?
It tells me that somehow or another, this group, maybe it's leadership or something, it's almost like a counterintelligence program, because what they're propagating is the lies that the old FBI COINTEL program propagated in the old days. One, the FBI used to say we hated all white folks. We did not hate all white folks. How could we hate all white folks? And we were running up and down the streets with all our white left radical buddies and friends.
This was a very much a community effort, not just a black person.
No, what I'm trying to explain to you, we had coalition politics. We had anybody who was progressive, liberal, progressive, that understood and wanted to work with us, we worked with them on many different programs, you know what I mean, different frameworks. So we didn't care whether you was black, white, blue, red, green, yellow, or polka dot. We're more interested in where your heart, mind, and soul is at. Are you connecting yourself with the human liberation struggle? This is what we were concerned with, you know what I mean? So black people's struggle was a human liberation struggle. So we coalesced with everybody, all ethnic groups, all the Asian groups, a couple of Asian groups we coalesced with, Hispanic groups we coalesced with, crossing racial lines, crossing ethnic lines, and doing work. In fact, we were coalesced with more than 38 different organizational groups across the United States of America. Not only ethnic, organizationally, other black organizations, such as SCLC. Well, SCLC was not, but we worked with SCLC on the Poor People's March and stuff like this. So coalition politics was a great characteristic of where we would come from, the Black Panther Party. The so-called new Black Panther Party propagates their hate for white folks. Hmm. See what I mean? Mm-hmm. So this is one, they're living on, they're not, I almost said one dimensional. It's not even one half of a dimension. You know, to run around propagating racist rhetoric. They don't have racist control of institutions. It's just racist rhetoric they propagate. And what they're propagating literally sounds like and was like the counterintelligence program operation of the FBI to try to discredit us by saying we were racist when we were not.
Now, your slogan for the Black Panther Party was power to all the people. Is that still relevant today?
Yes, it's still relevant. It's definitely relevant because all people are concerned, you know what I mean? So this is what it was about. How do we get power out of the hands of the avaricious who control our political institutions and our representatives, you know, who make laws that perpetuate that. See, it's an acute kind of way just to look at history. Obviously, the slave owners who controlled the political institutions in those days made it legal to have slavery. You see what I'm getting at? Mm-hmm. Now, what we were after is that to get rid of this inhumane practice, you see what I mean, or whatever other oppressive practice and discriminatory practices manifested in law, is that we need to get elected so we can wipe out those racist, backward, absurd, conservative-style, exploitative laws that's on the books. And that's what it's all about. That's what I was about.
And what role did your work during the Black Panther Party, what role has that had on current discussions on race relations?
Well, the most current discussion is the new Black Panther Party running around talking about they hate all white folks. current. The fact that the black, I guess what I'm trying to say is that people like Congresswoman Barbara Lee, she worked with my Black Panther Party 5 years in her early life days. All right. Congressman Bobby Rush, he was, in fact, part of the leadership of the Chicago, Illinois State Chapter of the Black Panther Party. He's the United States Congressman. Party members all across this country and a lot of different small places, two or three places, Black Panther Party members have run for political office. So, in that sense, it continues in another sense. We have a large alumni association, you know, and we're pulling together this 45th anniversary founding in 2011, October, to pull that together. The idea here is to teach youth today what we did then so they can get creative and more profound and relevant directions concerning human liberation.
Is that why you're here today, talking to teachers?
Oh, yeah. I talk to teachers. I speak at colleges and universities all over the country. I've been doing this all my life. I've spoken at more than 2,000 colleges and universities. And in other programmatic frameworks throughout the whole United States of America since I created the Black Panther Party.
How is your outlook on, you know, on what your mission was in the 1960s? How has it changed?
What my mission was? Well, I mean, a lot of things changed. When we say breaking down and getting rid of institutionalized racism, I think the very fact that an African-American like Barack Obama, I actually have to say, an intelligent, earnest, and progressive thinking African-American, you know, because if it had been Clarence Thomas, I'd have never voted for him anyway, you know what I mean? Because I understand his paper trail. I'm just saying he represents, you know, a breaking down of institutionalized racism. The fact that you have to remember when we started the Black Panther Party, there were probably less than what? I don't know. Was it? I can't remember the number it was, but it was so few. Blacks duly elected to political office across the United States of America. You know what I mean? But by the end of 1970s, there were 7,000 blacks duly elected. By the end of the 1980s, over 10,000 blacks duly elected. By the end of the 1990s, we're talking 15,000 black folks being elected. But in the broader sense, women got elected, more Hispanic people are getting elected, et cetera. So the old paradigm of the good old boy, white male, you know what I mean, has been neutralized in a long and a broad political sense in terms of who represents people, you know, the people in the communities. And it's not about the black and the color, it's about trying to get people in who are progressive, who understand real human needs and human relationships, who understand the balance of people's power, you see what I mean? To me, who understand the need for what I call greater community control. When I say community control, all workers live in a community, okay? And they have to have a greater input into the political institutions that affect their lives, you know? The young people are gonna have to try to evolve a better economic practice than what we have. I mean, this recent financial debacle in the last 2 years, you know, with the housing meltdown and all this kind of stuff, you know, so the economic practice is out of whack too. So how do we get young kids and youth and people to understand you need to evolve an economic practice that makes greater and better human sense? You know what I mean? So one of my great advocacies, even in the Black Panther Party days, was how do we evolve greater community control of economic frameworks that retail and produce services and goods? How do we evolve greater community control and input into the political institutions that affected our lives? Back in those days, in 1969, we, the Black Panther Party, put a measure on the ballot for everybody to vote on called community control of police, where we would duly elect three commissioners and we would also duly elect board members to the community control police board with the powers to investigate any abuse of power, or any abuse, corruption, what have you, et cetera, outside of the police department, outside of the regular mayor's office. So-called review boards nowadays are jokes concerning dealing with police brutality. Don't get me wrong. Police brutality in the 50s was 50 times worse than it is now, but it still exists. You see what I'm getting at? And one of the things that hasn't happened, they haven't restructured an institutional framework, and that's why I called for and did get it on the ballot. And so we got it, it was going for four cities, Richmond, California, Berkeley, California, Oakland, California, and San Francisco, California. We never got it on those others, but we did finally get Berkeley's. And we put it on the ballot. We voted for it in 1969. They had just put me in jail, though, at the same time. But we lost by one percentage point. I'm just saying this was the effort. Which, when you start talking about constitutional, democratic, civil, human rights, it's not just about saying you give us our rights, the Constitution says so. It's also about putting up institutional frameworks to make things change. You see what I'm getting at? So that's where I came from, you know. And to this day, we still have to, it's just so much more work to be done, you know. Where economic parity in society is concerned, where social justice is concerned, in all these areas. And present the immigration problem with the Arizona laws, et cetera. Oh my God, give me a break, you know what I mean? And then you got some schools that's literally talking about no more ethnic studies type programs. They don't want it to be taught in the schools. What kind of crap? That goes against and part of my 10-point platform and program. We want education to tell us about our true history and our true selves so we can understand our set role in the present day society. And then these guys are gonna say no more ethnic studies, no more, you know, that doesn't make any sense. So I'm just saying institutions need changing. I mean, what I was doing then, we still have a lot of those same problems, and especially what point number two in my Black Panther Party program was, we want full employment for our people. No kidding. I mean, we ran from what, 3.9% unemployment to 10-12% unemployment recently because of the financial debacle. And that's all based on your institutionalized structure, how they operate, policies, what have you, et cetera. Deregulating the financial institutions to do what they want to do and run con games and Ponzi games on us.
Thank you for spending time to talk to me.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.